everyone. Welcome to this week's episode of RV Family Travel Atlas. I'm Stephanie.
And I'm Jeremy.
And we write about RV and family travel with our three boys, Theo, Max, and Wes.
You can read about our adventures at RVFamilyTravelAtlas.com, and you can follow us on Facebook, Pinterest, Twitter, and Instagram.
Our featured segment this week is an interview we did with Janine Pettit, a fellow presenter at the Atlantic City RV Show and blogger for Go RVing. She is a girl camping ambassador and one heck of a storyteller. We would sit around a campfire with this lovely lady any night of the year.
We are also talking about some of the wonderful people we got to hang out with at the RV Show, from podcast listeners to safety experts to representatives from JCO headquarters in Indiana. We made the rounds and we made new friends.
And we convinced the nicest RV rep you will ever meet, Tom Wiley, into giving us a tour of the new JCO Whitehawk travel trailer. After the walkthrough, we kind of want to upgrade to the 2015.
All of this and so much more on episode 23 of RV Family Travel Atlas.
So, Jeremy, this was not the first RV show that we have ever been to this past weekend.
No, we've been to many RV shows.
We have been to many RV shows. But this was the first RV show that we presented at.
Yeah, and let's just be honest here. It was really an elaborate scam to get a weekend away from home.
Which we
it's the first time we ever spent a night without our children in 5.5 years.
Yeah.
So we had to present at an RV show for 4 days to make that happen.
Right.
So thanks, GS Media and Events.
Yeah, we appreciate it. So we did. We got away. And we were able to sort of be there and just kind of, we were working.
It was a heck of a vacation. It was about 5 degrees and snowing and windy.
Well, that didn't matter. We had fun.
We did have a lot of fun.
We had a lot of fun.
We met a lot of nice people.
We did. And really, at the end of the day, like at the end of the 4 days, first of all, I was so happy to see the boys, like coming back. It's good to get away because you're like...
It's good to get away and you realize, wow, how lucky we are.
Yeah, you're like, oh, I love you guys again.
And yeah.
Oh, it's good to see you.
You want to climb into bed tonight?
Yeah,
go ahead.
You do. You miss them. So that it is good to get away for that. But then also, at the end of the day, I was like... There were so many nice people that we met there.
Nice people like to go to RV shows.
I know.
Nice people are into RVing.
Right.
Nice people love to camp.
The nicest people of all are podcast listeners.
Podcast listeners are all very nice.
Yeah. So
sometimes they even show up at your seminars and they say nice things.
Yeah. So Lauren Hector, how nice were they?
They were very nice.
Yeah. And they came to... Which one did they come to first?
Oh, it doesn't matter.
Okay. All right. So, but we chatted with them for a while afterwards. And it's so funny because they said to us, and we mentioned this on last week's podcast, they said, oh, we bought a pop-up just weeks before we listened to your first episode. And this caused us like great grief that we made them feel bad about their pop-up purchase. And we're going to redeem ourselves.
We did finally get a brilliant defense of the pop, a poetic, brilliant Shakespearean defense of the pop-up camper from one of our listeners.
We love it.
And that's going to be coming up in one of the next two episodes. We're going to do an ode to the pop-up camper.
It's coming,
and
folks,
we're going to make up for some of our sins.
Yep, because we do believe the pop-up camper is a beautiful thing. We really
great
do.
Great way to get in the game, people.
And so we're going to have a whole discussion about it. We're going to use the wonderful list of reasons why the pop-up camper is awesome that we got from our listener.
Right.
And don't worry. By the end of this, Laura and Hector, you guys are going to be so happy you have a pop-up.
That's right. And we also want to thank Karen and Bill.
Yeah.
Who came to two of our seminars, including, I believe, the last seminar of the RV show. When the salesmen were popping balloons.
Yeah, we got duped. We got duped.
Yeah, because we did the last.
We weren't scheduled for the last seminar. But somebody had one of the other speakers had a
–
right, oh, I have to get out of town. Look, the weather was bad. People were worried.
We were happy to
help
because we weren't flying
home. And so
home.
We were like, of course we'll switch with you.
Meanwhile, they start pulling all the RVs out. They're popping balloons.
Oh, the drills.
To bring up the jacks.
Yeah. So we were doing Acadia. We were doing our presentation on Acadia. And there's balloons
accompanied by the sound of 40 salesmen packing up the RV show. So Karen and Bill, thank you so much.
And they were like sitting there listening and laughing with us along with some other folks.
Good times were had by all. Now, we also met a lot of other really kind of interesting people and a really wide variety of people at the show that were all so fun to talk to.
Yeah.
So who did you enjoy speaking with?
You know, it really meant a lot to me that there were some parents there who drag their kids to our talks.
Kids meaning also teenagers.
Right. And I at first was like, oh my gosh, these teens are probably like bored out of their skull. They're like, mom, dad, why are you making me sit through this? Well, we had the nicest family at one of our presentations. I think it was, it was tips and tricks for RVing with kids. And we had a dad come, and he had two of his three kids there. And
big RVers. Mm-hmm. Jersey people, too.
And you know what was great? They are such big RVers, and he's been doing this for so much longer than we have. And he sat there through our presentation, and he was like, oh, I picked up a few great tips from you.
And he wanted some recipes from you at the end.
He gave me some great tips also. And I just thought, what a great thing to experience is people that just love to interact and talk and walk away with some stuff. But that was not my favorite part about this family. My favorite part was when I started to talk to the 13-year-old girl after the show. And she could not stop giving me
recommendations
for campgrounds that I had to bring our boys to.
She could be a correspondent on the show.
She could. I wanted her honestly, everything in her was like, oh my gosh, I want you to be a correspondent
on
our show.
Part of the attraction, I think part of the appeal for you was that we're always kind of like in the back of our minds worried that the boys are going to hit age 13 and be like, well, we don't want to go.
Yeah.
We have friends. We have girlfriends. We want to go surfing, you know, and not want to go on trips
with
us.
And we get plenty of comments like that from listeners or readers on our blog. And that's fine. I understand. They're just saying like, hey, enjoy this time. This is a great time. Because then when they get to this age, things get difficult. And I get it. And I'm like, yeah, I know that's coming, and I know things are going to be a little more to manage with kids' schedules and their, you know, ideas
how
and opinions about
how busy American teenagers are and how opinionated they are.
So it was just so nice to sit here. I probably talked to her and her father and her sister too, but mostly her for like 20, 25 minutes. And she,
big Fort Wilderness people.
Yes. Okay. That is one of the things that I have to say. She kept telling me to bring my boys to all of these like off the hook fun kid camps.
Frontier Town, which we've been maybe thinking about.
Mm-hmm.
Fort Wilderness,
and then there was another
one. Some of the more like adventurous spots.
The
for
one
older kids.
In Virginia, another one in Virginia that I'll have to look up to say. And the thing was, I realized I think our intuition about that is sort of true. Kids just love like a kid crazy resort campground.
Right.
And she
the boys will love the fort and they will love Frontier Town when they're a bit older.
And if you give them enough of that, they're like willing to, you know, go the whole nine yards.
Well, you always
when
say when they get older, we're going to just have to do things that they want to do, like whitewater rafting and zip lining.
Right. Make it super exciting. So that meant a lot to me. And it also made me think about last year when we were traveling down to Myrtle Beach and we stopped at the Fredericksburg KOA and we met the nicest family in the world.
And those kids were about to go into college.
They were the daughter was college age. The boy was about to go into college. And again,
young man.
Oh, they were so nice. And these young adults sat there telling us all the places we had to take
the boys.
Oh,
they loved it. They loved it.
Right. And they were like, this was our whole life with our family.
And
we loved this.
That's the type of family, too, where once those kids are, you know, in 5 or 8 years, if they're married with their own wives, then maybe their own children, you see a multi-generational thing that's going to happen with the family. And we hope that we're that way, too. Yeah.
So that was, like, very sentimental and important to me to have those conversations. And I really appreciated it.
We also met a lot of first-time buyers.
Yes.
Or people that are considering buying for the first time.
It should be obvious that an RV show is going to be full of first-time buyers. But still.
But it's really fun to talk to people who are just kind of trying to figure it all out.
Yeah, when you realize these people are sitting in the audience and they're like, I don't own an RV. and I'm trying to figure out whether I'm going to buy one. You're like, wow.
Yeah. And they're talking to salesmen. And of course, that's one whole way to get information.
Yeah.
But it was interesting to talk to them and kind of share some of our opinions and maybe guide them at least a little bit in the process.
I like that. And I also felt like I could connect with where they were at, because a lot of them were like, how we had multiple people ask the question in multiple presentations. How much do you have to use it? To make
for it to
worth
be
it.
Worth the price.
Yeah.
That
so
did
that's
seem
people,
to be question number one.
Yep.
Okay. Like, if I'm going to buy an RV, how much use do I need to get out of it? And multiple people said they're afraid they wouldn't use it enough. And my line is always, this is not a boat. You know, and no offense to the boat owners. I just know a lot of people who buy boats and don't use them as much as they think. On the other hand, and this is anecdotal, this is not based on research, everyone I know who has purchased an RV uses it more than they think they will use it. Every single person.
Or if they don't, they sell it on Craigslist for cheap and you can buy it.
Right.
For an affordable price.
But I always tell
price.
Them, you know, whatever. I tell people, I think you will use it more than you think. And that's because that's what happened to us.
Yeah.
Now, a big shout out to our new friend Roderick, who had just retired from the Atlantic City Police Department.
Yes.
And I have never met someone more excited to go RVing. And he had just purchased a motorhome, I think a 37-foot motorhome. I forget what kind.
He is so nervous to drive that thing.
And he shouldn't be, because Roderick's
He's
the man.
He's going to be fine.
But he said, you know, I have been working so hard as an Atlantic City police officer and have dealt with so much junk in my career that I want to go out and have positive experiences and see this beautiful country, visit family, visit friends. He's planning on going to Florida, going to California, going cross country. And I was just so excited for him embarking on his journey.
We were talking to him. My heart was breaking a little. I was just like, look at you. Like, you are just
this guy has earned it, man.
Yes. Like, and you have just found something that you want to do with this season of your life. And how amazing is that? He was like outfitting his RV. Like, he was like buying the lamps and the
He was buying the lamps.
I'm excited for Roderick.
I'm excited too. And he was he was still a pretty young guy. Like, this guy's got, you know,
he's got a lot of life,
a lot of fire in the belly, as you said in the last show. And I just could sense that excitement to get out there and do this. You know, we felt so pumped up for
Roderick. He's going to be the kind of guy that you want to meet at the campground. He's the kind of guy that adds to campground culture.
Going to be chatting around the campfire with Roderick.
He wants to go to like a safety course in Pennsylvania to learn how to drive.
Safety driving course. We told him by day three he's going to be looking at everybody else like they're a bunch of fools, and he's going to be doing just fine. We also met Walter Cannon, who is one of our co-presenters, and he is the executive director of the RVSEF, the RV Safety and Education Foundation. So Walter is a safety expert.
Whoa.
You said, and you were not being sarcastic, you said like this deadpan way, every time Walter opens his mouth, I learn something. And you were not being like snide or sarcastic. And it's true. Like, you'd be talking to Walter. And I don't mean during his presentations. I mean like after his presentations.
Right.
You'd be chatting casually with him.
Chat.
And every sentence you're like, I need to write this down.
Right.
Yeah. He was just like one RV safety epiphany after another.
At one point we were listening to one of his presentations and he said something and I turned to him and I said, did you know that? And you said, no, but I do now.
Yeah. Oh, my gosh. And his presentations were good. He packed the house.
Yeah.
And we kind of opened for, in a sense, you know, we kind of opened for Walter. And I told him, you know, Walter, I feel kind of feel like we're opening for the Rolling Stones or something. Like, this is a
You're
big,
so
big
dramatic.
Deal.
But we interviewed him. He gave us such
gave
a
us
nice
a great interview.
Interview.
And we'll do – I think that should be like a featured topic in
the
coming
up.
Week.
Yeah.
He gave us like a great 15-minute interview with five or six safety tips for the first-time buyer. And I learned a lot, and all you guys out there in listener land are really going to learn a lot from Walter Cannon. Now, who else did we interview?
Well,
tonight's featured interview.
We did.
Janine Pettit, Go RVing
Another
blogger
one of our
and
presenters.
Girl Camper. She was also presenting. And Janine is like a natural-born storyteller. We had so much fun interviewing her.
Yeah. She's just one of those people that every single thing that comes up, there's a story attached to it. And it's a good story.
Oh,
too.
She can tell the
we
tale.
We met her about a month ago. And you'll hear this on the interview. We were supposed to interview her earlier and everything. But so we've been interacting with her for probably over a month. And every single time we meet and get together with Janine, I'm like,
Janine is incapable of being boring.
We have so
Wherever
much fun.
Wherever Janine brings the excitement, and she's bringing it to our
I
podcast
feel
tonight.
Like we are like very close to Janine, and we've known her for like a month. And I'm like, Janine.
I also feel, frankly, like we're a little boring compared to Janine.
No.
Okay, so we're going to interview Janine, and that's going to be our feature topic tonight. We also were really lucky to meet two of the JCo factory reps who were there. And we're going to have a walkthrough tonight with Tom Wiley, who is a regional sales manager and pretty much maybe the nicest guy in North America.
Oh, my gosh. I love Tom.
Yeah. Tom was so nice. And he took us on a walkthrough tour of a new JCo Whitehawk. Very informative. Very interesting. And we also met Megan Hyland, who works in the JCo Motorhome Group. And she took us on a walkthrough of a JCo Class C motorhome. And Megan was like smart.
Yeah. She's like, she's pretty sharp. Yeah. Okay. So here's the thing is that we, our listeners hear us going back and forth, travel trailer, Class C. We're always talking about all the
that
different
was what
options.
Was fun about this, and was
so getting... that's what we did, was we sort of did the whole, do I stay or do I go? Dance with these two, and we kind of pose them a little against each other. You know, what's great about the travel
trailer?
And they
talk trash about each other. Oh, I mean, the JCo Motorhome Group and the travel trailer people, there's some friendly competition going on.
Megan
there.
Wants us
in a Class C motorhome. Yeah, Tom wants us to stay in a Whitehawk.
So we just had fun
with it.
But
you know, it was really interesting to hear somebody from the factory talking about these units that they were involved in making and involved in selling. It was very informative. Yeah. So we'll do the interview, or the walkthrough rather, with Tom on this week's episode, and we'll do Megan next week.
And then you can only just wait and see who we're going to meet at the Colorado show, because
we know we're going to meet the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles.
They're on the schedule.
Because they're on the entertainment schedule along with RV Family Travel Atlas. Are they opening for us, or are we opening for them?
No, let's be honest. We're opening for the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles.
Well, like, they will be there,
the
and
parents
we will be there.
Will probably say, like, kids, if you sit through this presentation, you get to see the
If you can make it through the RVFTA presentation, we'll stay for the Ninja Turtles. So right. We will be at the Colorado RV show, not this coming weekend, but the weekend after.
Right. Yeah, February 26th.
Stephanie will be there presenting for all 4 days, and I'll be joining her Saturday and Sunday. And we're really looking forward.
We already know two of our listeners are going to be there.
Two of our Colorado listeners are going to be there.
We are so excited about. It's like how cool. We get to go across country.
Yeah,
people,
so we're really excited to be working with GS Media and Events again on a second RV show. A couple other quick announcements, some other exciting news, and then we'll dive in.
Today we were interviewed on Road Trekking.
Mike Wendland interviewed us. We're on today's episode of Road Trekking. And Mike Wendland, I cannot say enough about how much we love and adore Mike Wendland. He's just such a generous man. And we listen to his podcast every week, and we're on it today, which is super cool.
Go and listen.
Go and listen and subscribe to Road Trekking.
He kind of like – he sort of featured the whole – he tied it all together by saying it's the bonding experience of the
RV.
How RVing
brings families together.
Yeah, he sort of used our interview to – focus on that.
And it's a really nice full-length interview. So thank you, Mike, again. We also had an article come out today for Camp Jellystone on fun activities to do near Luray, Virginia.
Yes. So if you go, you can either follow them on Facebook, and then you're going to get the Facebook announcements, or you can just go to campjellystone.com and go to the blog, and you'll see.
So check out our work. We're working as guest columnists for them. We're going to be doing an article a month for the coming months.
Yeah. And if you don't want to do any of that work, you can just go to our website, rvfamilytravelatlas.com, and you can put in your email address in the subscribe.
Are you waiting for, people? Sign up for the newsletter.
And then when we send you the once a week, sometimes once every 2 weeks, email, you'll just get all these links. That's what we do. We're like, here's the schedule for the
RV
show.
And we will never sell your email address to anybody.
I don't even know how to sell an email address.
I don't know either. But people apparently make a lot of money.
I think you need like a million.
So listen, we'll be back in a second with this week's featured interview with Janine Pettit, Go RVing blogger and all-American superstar storyteller. I'm super excited. This was a great interview. Stay tuned. So this week's featured interview is with Janine Pettit, girl camping ambassador, blogger, and adventurist. But before we get to this interview, I wanted to talk to you, Stephanie, about this whole girl camping movement, because it's really exciting and interesting.
But then it kind of
makes me nervous.
Absolutely.
I'm a little nervous that this Janine Pettit character is trying to take you away from me.
So here's the thing, is we have actually a very sort of like an easy relationship with how we work, like girls' night out, boys like trips. We understand as a couple, I think it's very important.
It's healthy
for
to get away.
Me to have my time, you to have your time. So what this looks like is like for me, that looks like sushi nights out with the girls. For you, that looks like your little your trips.
Yeah, we
you
do have, our little Cape Hatteras guys right. trip once a
so
year.
So it's different.
For 4 or 5
but
days.
We both understand that that's a good part of what we do.
Good for now, marriage.
Right. Everybody involved is happier. Now, here's the thing about camping or
RVing.
RVing is it is our family thing.
We have never done it separately.
No. So you really as like a as a couple, you relate certain things to like you, right? Our unit.
My boys' trip.
So I saw you when we were watching Janine's first presentation.
Was sweating a little.
You were looking like I do not like the idea of this.
Well, no. I like the idea of it. I don't like the idea of you liking the idea of it.
I think you were twitching a little because you thought, I don't know how I would feel if she went off camping without me.
A little bit, yeah.
And you know what? Honestly, scared. I can get that. Like, I can tease you about it. But, like, I don't know how I would feel about it, too. Because, honestly,
well,
it's not something
tried.
I've ever done.
I have tried to do a guy's trip in the RV to Gettysburg.
And I'm fully
my friends
supportive
have,
of that.
Have crapped out on me multiple times on this trip. And I've kind of, I'm at a point where I've kind of given up. Now, I've also asked Max and Theo if they would ever want to do just a weekend trip with
you
Daddy.
You did try to get
and
them
Max
involved.
And Max and Theo adamantly say, no, we want Mommy and Wesley with us in the RV.
Max and Theo are very tribal. I don't know if it's the twin thing, but
it is the twin thing.
They're tribal. They want to do everything together all the time. We try to split them up and it just doesn't work. So I think I might at one point. Janine is a member of Sisters on the Fly. And I think that I might at one point go.
No, I
on
want
the
listen,
fly
I,
with the
before
sisters.
In honor of this interview with Janine. I want to officially give you both
don't
my blessing.
Don't say permission because women
my
will be emailing you.
And I won't say permission. Both my blessing and my best wishes.
Okay.
For an annual girl camping trip for you. Once a year.
Okay.
I can do that. Once a year, I will even prep the RV for you.
Right.
Get you on the road and I will watch the boys. And you have earned that because I get my once a year guy trip to Cape Hatteras.
You go and I have no
problem.
You've
earned it.
Going.
You've earned it. No, you're going to have to work. I expect interviews.
Right.
I expect
That's the
networking.
Thing is I'll have to come back with a lot of material.
To come back. So look, you officially can go with Janine
on
one of these weekend trips with the girl campers. All right. So we'll be back in a second with a really terrific, super fun interview with Janine
Pettit. Learn
more
about girl camping and what I'm going to be involved in the coming year.
So we are very excited to be here with Janine Pettit, girl camping ambassador, blogger, adventurist, and go RVing blogger, most importantly.
Wow.
Go RVing blogging celebrity. And we're here at the Atlantic City RV show with Janine, and we thought we had to snag an interview because we've tried to interview you before.
I'm hard to pin down,
oh,
right?
My
You're
goodness.
Hard to pin down.
And the drama.
May we tell the story?
Yes, go
so
ahead.
We had an interview all set up with Janine. She was going to come to our home.
Yeah,
there were
going to
be cocktails.
Yeah.
There was going to be dinner. Mm,
good times.
And we got sort of a frantic email in the morning saying she didn't know if she'd be able to make it, but she was going to... Because she was going to really try to make it, but her husband's car had just been stolen a few minutes ago.
Out of their driveway.
Out of their driveway.
Like, and, with all of his stuff
and
in
I'm
it.
Thinking
his laptop, phone, money,
still,
everything.
I was thinking to myself, she's still going to make it, she thinks.
Yeah.
And then
I do things.
Oh, and then I realized.
She's going places,
realized,
she's doing things.
That's right.
I realized, this is a Jersey girl.
Yeah.
This is a New Jersey girl. And
this
that's
is how
what
we
defines
roll.
A New Jersey girl.
Hey.
But eventually I emailed back and said, I think we need to reschedule.
Yeah.
And you also wanted to take your husband out for a drink.
I think my husband needed a cocktail that night. His car was warming up in the driveway. He came in and made a cup of coffee, said goodbye. We got, you know, what's on your docket today? Walks out in the driveway, car was gone. So my husband broke the ring, though. His car was recovered, and the culprits were apprehended.
And, Janine Pettit, girl camping ambassador, blogger, adventurist, and criminal mastermind. No, you're not a criminal mastermind.
Yes.
Okay. Detective. Yes. Gumshoe.
Yes. The ring was broken, and my husband was only the second car out of the 20 to be stolen, and it was fully recovered. His laptop was gone. His money was gone, but hey, we got the car back.
Yeah.
And then they found the people and they were arrested, and then we did get his laptop and money back.
And now we have our interview finally.
Yes, finally.
Everything's
and
working
a good story
out okay.
To start out
yeah,
with.
Yeah.
So tell us about your history as a camper before getting married, because you did camp a lot.
Oh my goodness. I grew up in a camping family because I'm one of seven kids in a large family, and that's what, you know, that's what we did. My brother called me one day from his office in Manhattan. He was a successful CEO at a Fortune 500 company, 40-year-old business phenom, and he says to me, "Hey, did you know when we were kids that we were poor?" And I said, "What are you talking about?" And he goes, "Yeah, Chris told me. That's why we camped."
Yeah, yeah.
And he said, "I thought we did it because it was fun." And I said, "Greg, that's why we did do it, and that's why we still do it, because it's
You're
fun.
Sticking with that story.
That's how I viewed it. And, hey, we never knew we were poor. We had so much fun. And my dad played the banjo and guitar. And on our campsite as kids, all the neighboring campers would come over, and we had big rounds of songs and "Hey Lighty, Lighty Low" and the Rock Island Line.
So it's in your blood.
Oh my gosh, I grew up camping, loved it. And then I married a non-camper.
What were you thinking?
Have that like as part of
prenuptial disclosure. Yes, I tell my daughters now, these things need to be in your prenuptial disclosure.
Yep. Agreements
but
need to be made.
I just assumed that once you took a non-camper camping, they would fall in love with camping.
That's what we think.
I think that's common. If you love the camping lifestyle, you think, why wouldn't
who wouldn't love this?
Right.
Well, we moved into a new neighborhood, and my neighbors had an old StarCraft pop-up sitting in their side of their garage, and I was telling my neighbor, Marianne, "I just love camping. I grew up camping. Rick hates camping." So she said, "Would you like to borrow our pop-up for a week?" So we rented it from them for like $100. And we recreated my favorite childhood vacation of driving all the way to Fundy, Prince Edward Island, and the Bay of Fundy.
Well, that's an ambitious
which is
first
where
trip.
We went as kids. And I took my kids to the same campground at Cabot Cove. And we even ate at the same restaurant where I ate when I was a kid. I loved every minute of
Anna
the trip.
Anne of Green Gables?
Yes, we did. Because I had a daughter in sixth grade then. So everything was Lucy Maud Montgomery. We toured her house. It was heaven.
We have to get there.
Oh, it's...
We will.
It's and you got to stay overnight at the Bay of Fundy and see those 27-foot tides. Mm-hmm. That's spectacular. Well, we got home from that trip, and we were cleaning that camper out in the driveway, and my husband said the dreaded words, "Thank God that's over."
Oh.
And your heart broke into a thousand tiny
crestfallen
pieces.
Crestfallen. Yeah, I thought I had converted him, and he just, it was something he got to check off his to-do list, did this. And so
how did you get back in the game in such a major way?
Well, what happened with me is a couple years went by, and Country Living Magazine came out with an article about this group of women, Sisters on the Fly. They travel all around the country in their little vintage car. It was in April of 2002, I believe. And I showed it to my husband. This group of women, they have these little vintage campers. They're all dialed out. Your personal little bedroom home traveling behind you. And he looked at that article and he said, "Oh my gosh, your people have found you."
Yeah, the mothership.
And they had just been waiting for you the entire time.
They were. They landed on my doorstep.
Well, he was probably relieved too, because he was like, "Wait a minute, this might set me off the hook." Yeah, okay, good. Somebody for you to do this.
She's done. I can get her out of here. And listen, when I'm gone, my husband and daughter have a ball. They see all these yucky movies. I shoot 'em up movies. They eat all the food.
Like, so everybody's happy.
But so I joined this group, and there was only one New Jersey Sister on the Fly, me. A lot of them were in the West Coast, but now nationwide there's like 5,600 Sisters on the Fly, and
that's amazing.
Thousands on the East Coast now, so I always have someone to camp with and go places with.
And I have to stop you for one second. I'm going to right now declare New Jersey as a new power center for the RV industry.
Yes.
New Jersey, the home
girl
of
campers,
girl campers, yes.
Family campers,
Pettit, home of RV Family Travel Atlas.
Yes.
Indiana, watch out.
We're taking over.
So tell us about your trailer, your travel trailer.
Well, I currently right now own a vintage 1966 Go Tagalong trailer. It's really a cute story. I saw it on Craigslist and I bought it. It was right in my town, which is funny.
That is crazy.
Yeah,
it is because
unusual.
I had a 1959 Field & Stream with the original birchwood interior. It was like sleeping at your grandma's. It was the best camper. And I never thought I would get rid of it, but I did. I found this 1966 Go Tagalong on Craigslist. I couldn't believe it was in my town. I went over there, and the man selling it had purchased it. He was the original owner. He was in his early 90s, and when he signed that title, he had tears rolling down. He had
so much.
So I asked him, I said, what was the furthest you ever took this trailer with your children? And I was driving him over. He no longer drove. So I picked him up at his house, and he took me to where the trailer was. And he didn't answer me, so I waited, and I looked to my right, and the tears were streaming down face, and he choked out the words, California.
Oh, wow.
And he was just remembering that trip with his wife and children. His wife had passed away, and... Anyway, I felt like I took ownership of something that was so important, you know.
And we did the same thing. We both cried when we got rid of our pop-up camper. Not because we were sad to see the pop-up camper go, because we were so happy to get that trailer. But it does represent your family.
It's like when you sell the first home where your children were born.
Yeah, and we did that too. And it was just, it's just a moment. You're not... sad to go because you're ready for the next step.
Yes.
But it is unbelievable what a trailer, what an RV can represent.
It becomes part of the family. Mm-hmm.
It is. Because the thing about RVs is they're little homes.
Yeah.
They're your little home. Like,
things happen there. Like, moments are made. Memories are made. Yeah.
When I was homeschooling my youngest daughter, my old camper was parked at our little hobby farm in Burlington County. If she was really good and got all of her homework done, a friend could come over and they would make popcorn and sit in the camper in the driveway watching movies in there.
It turns into a clubhouse.
My husband will call me on Friday night and say, get a bottle of wine. I'm bringing home a pizza. I'll meet you in the camper. And
date night in the camper.
We just sit out there.
Like,
we just sit out there and
you'd love that,
get caught up, you know, and the kids are calling us and he's, shh, don't answer.
Don't answer the phone.
So what is your favorite memory from an RV trip? Your favorite trip you've been on?
I went on a trip with the Sisters on the Fly. It's got to be my favorite trip. We went down to Alabama, and the Sisters on the Fly do this thing. If it's a big trip, like a week or 7 days, you know, 5 to 7 day trip, they'll name the trip, and it's a theme trip. So this trip was called Southern Fried, and it was in Alabama in July. Now, who goes to Alabama in July?
Well, apparently you do.
But apparently...
People who want to fry.
Yes, you're right, Stephanie.
Or girl camping and Ambassadors, blogger, and adventurer.
Yes, people with, you know, wanderlust.
Places to go.
It happened to be the summer of my 50th birthday, and I called my mom, and I said, Mom, I do not want any big party or anything like this. I think you and I should celebrate our 50 years together by going on this camping trip. And so my dad flew up and stayed at the farm with my husband and kids, and my mom and I and a girlfriend all drove to Alabama.
Fine.
We had more fun on that trip. Every time I look at the pictures from it, I just want to flash back to it. It was so much fun. There were 60 Sisters on the Fly with their little campers, and the campground was totally closed to the public. It was only us.
That's the way to do it.
And it was so much fun. That was so much fun.
How about a favorite campground? Do you have a campground that you really love that you return to time and time again?
I do. Like, when I'm off on adventures, we're seeing a lot of new places, but when I just have a weekend, like you guys say, a weekend warrior, I look at the calendar and I go, you know what, I got a day and a half here. I'm flying up to Taylor Campground in Columbia, New Jersey, up at the Delaware Water
Gap. Camp Taylor, where we've been
three or four
times.
Yeah, and we reviewed it on an earlier podcast.
Episode.
I'm not sure which episode
Beautiful,
it was.
Beautiful, deeply wooded campground with the Lakota Wolf Preserve.
Yes, it's 200 acres. It's family-owned. And I'm at a stage in life where I'm looking for a campground that doesn't have all the crazy... kid things. I love that.
You don't want roller coasters and water slides.
No, I don't want bouncies and
500-acre
baseball fields.
Miniature golf courses.
Right, I love that.
They say Camp Taylor is the back-to-nature experience or something like that.
It is. They have the Lakota Wolf, and they have a fantastic swimming pond there that is so warm, and we just get our inner tubes and float around.
Yeah,
and we did.
We took our first swim of the spring
last year.
New Jersey. There.
Well, don't tell Gene and Clayton, but we were all in that pond at midnight.
Yeah.
I hope they're not listening.
I'm not saying anymore, because what happens with the sisters stays with the sisters.
And as New Jersey people, and now that this is becoming a major destination for RVers around the world, that's the most beautiful part of New Jersey, I would
say. Right, the Skylands region.
That Skylands region is gorgeous.
Well, and you can get right up there and get on the Appalachian Trail, and it's an 11-mile walk. So you, what we do, six miles one way and 6 miles back, and it's a nice hike on the AT.
Yeah.
And you come home, you get back to your campground, you get a good Dutch oven meal going. It's so much fun.
And we hike right from the campground.
Mount Tammany.
Mount Tammany
was great with the boys. Yeah. They love that. I mean, it was a lot of rock scrambling. I mean, so really, for New Jersey, you can get some very good hiking.
Yeah, it's the best hiking you're going to get.
It's not as easy as you might think.
No, Mount Tammany was tough.
Yeah.
And you can do a lot of hikes right from the campground.
You can. You can. I mean, my husband and I took a really good long hike one day there. We saw some bear scat, and I have the reputation as the only person up there all the time. When I go up there with my girlfriends all the time, because it's great. It's 2 hours from home. We love it. Everybody has seen a bear but me.
Haven't either.
I've heard them.
There a fox, a wild turkey, and deer.
Lots of deer.
Through our campsite.
Yes.
Right. That was our wild.
And I saw a snake, but it was dead in the road. But
I love the spots there that are right along, I don't know if you call it a brook or a stream.
Yeah.
Yes.
There's some beautiful sights back
there.
That's
my favorite one, because I just park my chair and I watch the water go by, and I just love that campground.
So what trips are coming up for you this spring, summer, and fall?
Oh, gosh, I'm going to be at the Country Living Fair in Nashville with the Sisters on the Fly, and we're going to be displaying our vintage campers at the Country Living Fair in Nashville, and I'm going to be the guest speaker there talking about girl camping.
Fun.
That's going to be fun.
Okay.
When is that?
That is...
And if you don't have the dates, we can put links to it on our website.
I believe it's April 23rd, 24th, 25th.
Okay, we'll put that in the show notes
that's
if gonna anyone
be
wants
fun.
To check that out.
And we're going to have a little surprise at that show, because I'm not going to say who, but I will reveal it on a future podcast. You can have the exclusive. But we are working now on a Sister on the Fly anniversary special edition issue trailer that a manufacturer is building for us. And it is going to be on display at the Country Living Fair.
Awesome.
In Nashville.
Oh, my gosh.
How
that
cool
is so
that?
Exciting.
That's
and we
so
will have you back on the show to talk about
that.
Yeah,
that'll be fun.
And we'll
that's
put some
coming
pictures up.
Up
and everything.
Mm-hmm. And then we're also going June 5th and 6th. We're going to be camping in Rhinebeck, New York, with Sisters on the Fly. One of the sisters owns a Christmas tree farm there, so we're going to be boondocking on her tree farm. Isn't that sound fun? While attending the Rhinebeck Country Living Fair.
Okay. Beautiful. Any speaking engagements coming up if our listeners
want to?
Well,
I've got the two Country Living events, Rhinebeck, New York in June, Nashville in end of April, and then I'm going to be in Denver April 10th at the most wonderful RV dealer, Kettleson's RV.
Kettleson's RV. We'll link to them on the show notes.
Yes, and we are going to be doing a camper school. So if you've always wanted to be a girl camper and you don't think you know how to hook up your camper and how to plug it in and how to level it, the wonderful Randy Kettleson is going to be doing a seminar there, and I'm going to come and speak, and we're going to teach women how to be girl campers.
There
and that's in Denver, April 10th at Kettleson's.
Okay.
Now, our last question that we ask almost everybody on the show, any epic camping fails, any times when just everything went wrong?
Yes. Here's the worst of them all. A friend of mine bought a vintage camper in Pigeon Forge, and you guys know Pigeon Forge is... you know, Las Vegas for kids.
We can't wait to bring them there.
Right outside of Great Smoky Mountain National Park
Wonderful.
In Tennessee.
It's a great location. If you live where we live, you get the bonus of going down 81 South, which is one of the most beautiful drives.
Great
I never
drive.
Get tired of it. So we had a plan. We're going down. We're going to pick up that camper. We're going to hitch it up, and we're going to be out of Pigeon Forge in 2 hours and back on our way home. We're going to do this thing in 3 days, down, hitch up, and back. We picked up the camper from an RV dealer who said, I checked everything for you. Tires are good. This is good. Hitches, everything's lubricated. Hook it up and go. And I got on the highway with that thing, and it was swaying all over. Now, I'm towing a 12-foot trailer on a Ford F-150.
This should
Something's
not be a problem.
Wrong, right?
Right. You should be good to go.
You shouldn't even feel it.
I've towed my whole life, and okay, so I pull over. Something's not right here. I'm going through the checklist in my mind. I pull over RV dealer, and one of these RV guys comes out, looks all good to me, and I don't know what could be wrong. Let's get an anti-sway bar on here. So put the anti-sway bar on, and we go
which
along.
You should never need for your little 12.
You shouldn't need
right.
for,
yeah, you know, and I never tow with one. Yeah. You know, unless the trailer is very big, I don't ever use one. But anyway, single axle, so I thought, okay, I don't know, maybe there's something, everything looked level, I couldn't figure it out. Get back on the highway. It was a little better, mm-hmm. but I could tell it wasn't gripping the road. Something was happening. I pull over again, and I take it to another RV dealer. He looked at the whole thing, and he could not come up with anything that was wrong with it. But my mind was racing now, and I'm going through my safety checklist in my mind. The dealer checked the tires. They look good to me on the outside. So we pull over, and we stay overnight. We're only 2 hours out of Pigeon Forge, and we've been gone all day.
You got like another 10 hours left.
Oh, my gosh. 8 hours left. Yeah. No, like 10. It's yeah. a 14, right. mm-hmm. like 14-hour drive. So anyway, I got online that night, and I read everything I could on swaying and all the causes. And in my mind, I'm checking everything off. It's none of these things. So my husband called and he said, get on Route 11, which runs parallel all the way from Virginia all the way up to Pennsylvania. So it's like Route 1. You're going along, right. and you're red lights and blah, blah, blah. But when we're going 40, we're fine. So I saw this little service station, Singleton Service Station in Virginia. And you know that inner bell that goes off? Something just tell me, pull in. And this woman comes out. And she's got on a pink T-shirt and a French manicure. And I tell her, I don't know what's happening here. Okay, now I've had two good old boys look at it, and they didn't find anything. So this woman comes out. She bought the service station from her father, and she and her sister own it. First thing she says to me, well, let's take a look at those tires. And she pulls out her little tire gauge
right
from
her
back pocket. And the tires are inflated to 55 at PSI when it's supposed to be 32.
So dangerously overinflated.
Overinflated. And then she says, if they're overinflated, they're bald. And she gets down on the ground and she looks. And inside, even though they look perfectly fine when you're standing looking forward at them, they were as well. This is
and
why
ready,
they wouldn't grip the
blow,
road.
Too, right. I'm sure.
Oh my gosh!
You were probably if we would have hit
a big railroad yes. track or something, right. those things. So she was great. She got us new tires, aww. And we got them on. It was 4th of July weekend, and she was scrambling. They were closing early because she was going camping.
Honorary girl camper. Can we designate her?
We made her a sister
okay.
on the fly.
Right on the spot.
Right on the spot.
We did. We went to the cupcake store and we bought cupcakes for everybody aww. At the gas station.
So she did.
So my lesson there was, you do your own safety checks.
Right.
It doesn't
check
matter.
Your own tire
I picked
pressure.
It up from the guy, and the tire pressure in my truck was off, too. And I didn't realize, and I learned a lot from Walt yesterday in his talk. You know, when you're driving on heated roads in very warm weather, you're losing tire pressure every mile you go. Mm-hmm. So if you check those tires when you leave and you're going along, you got to be checking them yeah. along the way. So my tires on the truck were underinflated for what
right.
I was. Yeah.
And
so.
Janine's mentioning Walter Cannon. Maybe we can put up mm-hmm. a link
yeah.
as well because he does
yeah.
a lot of RV safety
very
work.
Interesting. Yeah, we heard right.
it. He gave a great
yesterday.
Talk yesterday and I mm-hmm. learned a lot.
Yeah. Okay.
And keep learning.
That,
keep
and
learning.
I think that Janine, you're bringing up such a good point. Is there's the dreamy aspect of this,
right.
and then there's the practical aspect of this. And both
there's
of those have to go.
To get to the dreamy, you have to
right.
care about the practical.
Right. So dream about your like trip to Prince Edward Island,
right.
and then check your tire pressure.
Well, I always tell this to women now. You know, you just don't, it's a, you're towing. We had a girl who in our group who lost her trailer when it flipped in a sway. She was under towing. She had a 6-cylinder truck pulling a very big trailer.
Okay.
So,
mm-hmm.
and I always tell people, overtow,
yeah.
overtow,
right, yeah.
overtow.
Have more power than
and
you need.
And she was going downhill in the rain, and a truck went yeah. by her, and that's she had an anti-sway bar, but she couldn't save it. Thank God she was okay, but... Okay,
yeah.
See, don't ever forget you're towing something behind mm-hmm. you. Don't get so casual
right.
that you just jump
right.
in your car and take
well,
off.
Well, we had a blowout this summer, and it
yeah.
gave me religion on
yeah.
checking that tire pressure all the time.
Yeah.
So thank you so much, Janine.
Oh, you're welcome.
And this is
thank
really,
you
this
for
will be an ongoing
me.
Conversation.
It's been so nice to meet you.
Oh, you guys,
we'll,
too.
We'll have you back. Okay?
Oh, I hope so. I'll tell you all the news.
Absolutely. And you can check out Janine's work on the Go RVing blog, and we have
mm-hmm.
loved her writing on the Go RVing blog. And
aww,
you can
she's
also,
a great writer.
And yes, Janine
thank
can write.
You.
And you can check her out at girlcamper.blogspot.com. Anywhere
mm-hmm.
else to look for your work? Are those the two major places people can find
yep,
you?
Yep, that's where they can find me. Mm-hmm.
Okay, thank you so
oh,
much,
thank
Janine.
You so much. I've enjoyed seeing you and being with you.
Okay, we'll be
happy
back in
trails.
A minute.
Happy trails.
Thank you.
Ta-da.
So that was a really fun interview with Janine, and I'm really glad that we were able to do that this time with her after having to cancel the first time.
I feel super lucky that we got to meet her in the first place. Like, she's just an awesome person.
And what a great storyteller. Mm-hmm. And she's a Jersey girl, and she lives close by, and we're gonna interview Janine again. That was the first of many conversations with Janine. Now, Janine was not the only super friendly person at the Atlantic City RV show, right? We met some other friendly folks.
We stuck our mic into other people's faces.
We stuck that mic. Daddy got a brand new mic. We were shoving that thing under people's noses. So we met two really nice factory reps from Jayco.
Mm-hmm. At our dealerships.
They were helping support White Horse RV. Mm-hmm. And this upcoming segment's not paid for by Jayco or by White Horse.
And let's just say that we really like White Horse as a dealership.
We think it's a great dealership.
So we naturally gravitate towards hanging out there, and we talk to some of the salespeople.
We lounge with the White Horse folks.
So we're like, hey, White Horse, how you doing? So we were there. And then, of course, we do own a Jayco, and we love our Jayco. We don't make any bones about that.
We make no bones about it. And we know our next unit. It'll be a Jayco too. So we saw two Jayco reps there, and we chatted them up.
Yeah.
And got each of them to agree to do a walkthrough of two separate units with us. So we're going to run one this week and one next week.
Mm-hmm.
So this week, the segment, we met with Tom Wiley, who is the regional sales manager for the Northeast. And he agreed to give us a walkthrough of a 2015 Jayco Whitehawk. And it's the 28 DSBH, which we almost bought 3 years ago.
Yeah, well, I guess it's like all a fog of floor plans.
We looked at a lot of floor plans.
I was not in the place where I really knew exactly what we wanted, because I wasn't fully invested at that point into the whole idea of a travel trailer like you were, but I wasn't.
But to refresh your memory, it came down to two floor plans, and we went with our quad bunk house.
Oh, yeah. I remember feeling like, well, of course we'll get the quad bunk house. Like,
yeah,
that
the quad bunk
like
sold
a
us.
No-brainer. And we've said also on this show a few times that now we do regret thinking that we had to go with the bunkhouse over the
double
floor space.
Yeah, now we look at that 28 DSBH. It has a wide open mm-hmm. floor plan and the double over double bunks. And we think, you know what? We could have dealt with the double over double bunks for the floor space.
Yeah.
So we wanted to see some of the improvements they made to the 2015. And Tom Wiley is like the super nicest guy on the planet.
Oh, yeah.
Maybe.
Oh, yeah. He totally.
Like, I kind of want him to like be my uncle or.
You want everybody to adopt you in some way.
Yeah. Tom was like really nice. And the guy was hustling, man.
Yeah. Well, that was the reason why we started to talk to them, was we saw them talking to so many customers. And we were just curious. We were like, oh, well, what are you really doing here? Like, do you get feedback?
Right.
Like, we started questioning them about what they were doing,
because
it was so interesting to us.
But anybody who was looking at a Jayco, was talking with.
Right there, giving them information, giving them feedback, answering their questions.
And it's interesting because they're not selling the units. They're just there answering questions and kind of helping people out.
Which is why we initially were like, so what do you do here?
and
which led to us shoving our mic in
for a tour of the 28 DSBH. And Tom was a total sport. So thank you, Tom. So let's head into this segment. And thanks again to Tom Wiley. Okay, so we're here with Tom Wiley from Jayco at the Atlantic City RV Show. And Tom, tell us what you do for Jayco.
Hi there. It's nice to be with you guys. I am the regional sales manager, so I call on in the northeast part of the country. So I call on all our dealers in the northeast in the United States.
Excellent.
So we've been seeing you here working.
You've been working hard
for Jayco.
I've been trying.
You've been talking to customers, supporting White Horse RV as well, right?
Yeah.
That's the Jayco dealer here, and we bought from White Horse.
Yes, we did. We're big fans.
We are White Hawk owners, and we are standing outside of the White Hawk 28 DSBH, which is deep slide bunkhouse,
double slide,
bunkhouse. Forgive me.
Okay.
So, we're outside right now. What are some of the features that you like about the White Hawk for a family option?
Family option. On this is one of our top-selling floor plans in the White Hawk series. There's a lot of cool features. One of them is the dual entry doors.
We love that.
Yes.
Great for kids and adults to get in.
Well, we don't have that. we have only the front entry by the master. And when we walked into this floor plan, I was really excited to see that it's that entrance back by the bathroom.
Yeah.
So you can go directly into the bathroom from your campsite, which when you have kids and you know that they want to use the bathroom and they're muddy and dirty and wet and they want to run through your camper and make it as messy as possible.
They're not dragging all that nonsense across the
center. Right, that's
a
huge deal. So that's a nice feature.
Yeah, it's a huge deal. And then also on the outside, too, we've got a nice little feature here that comes in pretty handy, and it's a chillin' store. Chillin' store refrigerator.
Well, I just spotted this. I didn't even see this before, and this was exciting to me because we have an outdoor kitchen that's not on this model. So I was like, oh, what do I want? Do I want a door entry to the bathroom or an outdoor kitchen? But at least there's a little
chillin' store. We use our fridge a lot. Now, you said there are Jayco models where you can have the rear entry and an outdoor fridge as well.
That is correct.
Okay.
Yeah.
So you can have everything.
We'll have to look at one of them and see if it sways us any differently.
But
some of the other nice features, too, about the outside is really all the cool construction features by Jayco, too, with the vacuum bonding process that we use, where we actually put 144 tons of pressure on 100% of our sidewalls and vacuum out all the air and seal the coach, which is a different process than everybody else.
To keep it from delaminating and to keep out leakage.
Yeah, it really prevents delamination.
Yeah, and we have spent...
We're 200 nights in our White Hawk. We're 3 years in, and we have no delamination at all. And no leakage at all.
Yeah,
so after 3 years, we can vouch for that, definitely.
Right. Then there's also the wide stance axles that we have on here, too. So there's an additional 11 inches of
axle space.
That what's going to be good on this, take bounce and sway out of your travel.
Okay, so easier to tow.
Easier to tow.
Okay, all right.
Yeah.
And this is about 6,000 pounds, this White Hawk, so it's easily towable. By a half-ton pickup truck.
Right,
which is why we were attracted to the White Hawk in the first place.
Right.
We were looking because
we had a pickup truck. This worked for our pickup truck.
And we didn't have to upgrade our truck to upgrade our trailer.
Yeah.
So that was a big feature for us. Now, something that you pointed out to us that before that I hadn't noticed was a wider door.
Yeah, our entry doors are 2 inches wider than
And once you said that, I was like, oh, yeah, it is.
It is so much nicer, too, because frankly, I'm a big guy. Like a wide-shouldered guy, and I do on ours. I feel like I bang into the door a little bit, and we just watch people walk in.
And I was also thinking about we actually bring in our kayak, our bikes a lot of the time, and we move stuff by putting it into our camper.
Yeah.
So that could make that.
Oh my gosh! I mean, we have to be so precise to get our kayak into our White Hawk, but that extra 2 inches would make it a lot easier to pull the kayak in.
Right. Yeah.
Absolutely. Right. What kind of awning are we looking at here in terms of length?
Yeah, this is a 16-foot awning, and it's an electric awning, so it's very easy to operate. It's one touch, taking it out, putting it in.
Right.
And it also features the LED lighting, which is newer.
Nice white lighting, not your garish
blue
strip lighting.
That's really been bothering me, as I spotted on the campground. I do not want to
look
at anybody's blue awning.
Yeah.
So do we want to take a walk inside?
Let's walk inside, and we'll talk about some of the things inside. Absolutely. So we just walked in the nice wide entry door here.
Yeah, really wide entry.
And you notice, too, we have that extra large grab handle there, so it's easy to grab.
That's nice. We have that.
Convenient.
Okay.
So what are some of the things that you love about the floor plan here that would make it really nice for a family of 4, 5, 6?
Yeah, there's several things, but I think if we start touch base with it is a bunk house model.
Right.
And what we're doing on our bunks is this double over double bunks.
And they are wide bunks. They really are.
So there's plenty of space back there in the bunk area, along with the weight capacity on there. It's
what's the weight capacity on the bunks?
600 pounds on the bottom and 300 on the top.
Okay, so I'm good to go up top. Mm-hmm. So that could fit a really large adult up there.
Yeah. And also, if we, our two boys could easily share one of these bunks.
Yeah, Stephanie, you and I could sleep in one of these bunks. I mean, these are truly double bunks.
Yeah, they're
okay,
nice.
And talk to us about Denver Mattresses.
Yeah, Jayco recently entered into a partnership with Denver Mattress, and we feature our Denver Mattresses throughout not only our bunk mats, but also
in the master
bedroom bunk.
We bought the year before you went to Denver.
Yeah.
And we love the look of the pillow top mattress. It does.
Yeah,
they look really comfortable.
Nice.
And they have
an upgrade.
They feel like the word residential comes up over and over again. They feel
you
like a mattress. I can't help
it.
But they feel like a mattress from your home.
Yeah, real nice high density foam. These bunk mats are an inch thicker than the competitors, and with much better materials in there. The quilting on the tops, you know, a nice neutral color, and we've had great success with our partnership.
I also like that the both bunks, there's a good amount of sort of headroom too for the kids, where sometimes you look in a bunkhouse and
right.
it feels like
the top you know, bunk is a little squished in some models, and
this,
you feel like the kid
spacious
up there wouldn't
bunk.
Like it.
You know, if you're this to me for a family of four, you couldn't mm-hmm. get a better floor plan.
Right. Yeah.
So you want to like talk about the bedroom area, the master bedroom area, and some of the features up front.
The television will spin around, and you can view the TV from the living area, and also you can view the TV from the bedroom.
Yeah, which is, I think, a really big deal, because our model, the White Hawk, has the connection to
put a second TV in. But
here's the thing.
This just swivels.
I would never do that. I'm not going to install a second TV for, like, when the couple of times that I might ever watch it in my master bedroom mm-hmm. when I'm in my camper. So that, I love that. Just because, oh, it's a rainy night and we're going to watch a movie and we can do it by swiveling the TV. I like that feature. And I'm not a big TV person. I like moan and groan about the 10 TVs that are in every RV these days. So.
Right. Well, another nice thing, too, is about the recent initiative, too, to go to LED lights. Not only do we have LED lights outside on that awning that we mentioned before, but all of our interior lights are LED. So they're going to be more cost-effective and also much, much brighter.
And brighter. And it really is very bright in here. Now, Tom did not bring up my favorite feature
The shoe locker?
Which is the pocket doors.
Oh, the pocket doors.
No, we'll get to that. The pocket doors, because we have the curtains. And I love the idea that I can actually, as my boys are getting older, and maybe I would imagine a little bit more privacy in my life,
right.
I could actually close those off.
Yeah, those are nice, solid pocket doors on both sides of the television, so you do have a private master up there.
Yeah.
Much more.
That's huge.
I want to talk about the shoe locker, Tom.
Okay, well, it's not really a shoe locker. I turned it into one. Oh, you mean the one under the TV?
Yeah. You guys call it a shoe locker?
We do.
Okay, all right.
And so it's very convenient by the front door, and there's a space underneath the cabinetry there mm-hmm. that's carved out, so you walk in and flip your flip-flops off, put them under there, your tennis shoes.
And I kicked one of my shoes under there before. It's a size 12 shoe, and it fit perfectly.
Well, and it's something that we bring up a lot, is you see a lot of new models having some sort of mud room element to them, and we think that that's one of the smartest new design features in RVs.
We saw that in Jayco first, frankly.
Yeah, when we travel with our kids, the front entryway is a hot spot for mess when you're just constantly unloading things and changing shoes and bathing suits and everything. So another thing, you have a couple of hooks along that wall, which I really like. I love hook options. You still have the hooks for the keys and stuff against the other wall, which is something we use a lot in ours. And then there's this great big cabinet right to the left when you walk in. And I know Jayco did not make that for my shoes. They probably made it for, like, pots and pans or something. But I'm
that
putting shoes in there.
Shoes.
I could put all of our family's extra pairs into that cabinet right there by the door, and we could just reach in and grab them before we left somewhere.
Let's talk about the cabinetry in a Jayco. So why is this better cabinetry than a competitor's cabinet?
Well, it's all residential cabinetry. There's actually a three-year warranty on them, and they're all mortise intended or finger jointed together. There's no staples at all in any of the Jayco cabinetry. They're all screwed into the face frames or styles, as we call them, and so there's no staples in there at all or cleats.
And that's real wood.
That's real wood.
Yeah, I mean, those look like...
There's a difference. I mean, when you're opening them and closing
you can feel
them,
it when you open
right,
them.
Right, they're very stable, and can feel that.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Now, go ahead. You want to talk about the fridge?
Yeah,
talk about
this.
The Norcold fridge.
Well, we also feature Norcold fridges in ours, and actually the industry standard in this class of coach, too, is 6-cubic-foot refrigerators.
Okay.
In White Hawk, we feature an 8-cubic-foot refrigerator.
And not in our White Hawk.
It's bigger
in
than
the
ours.
New ones, because this is bigger,
Tom,
and I could
you're
fit a lot
us
of
want
food in
a
there.
New 2015 White Hawk.
Well, we can take care of that for you, too. We have an awesome sales staff
here. How about that?
At Whitehorse RV, can take care of that.
And Norcold is a brand name in the industry, a respected name in the industry for the refrigerators.
It's a very respected American brand name. It features adjustable shelves, 5 different temperature settings. It runs off gas electric, so you have the versatility there as well. And also the freezer has a deep lip in it in case accidents happen with somebody leaving a bag of ice in there and letting it
tune advice all over
like
the
floor.
That's
like an amazingly thoughtful feature for
it really,
me.
I
would
feel how
never
deep that is,
think
right.
about that. But if any liquid went to the bottom of this, it wouldn't spill out when you open the door. And, you know, in a kitchen, if that happens, big deal. You kind of clean up your kitchen floor. But when you're in an RV and you might have, like,
you
stuff around
no
your wood,
floor.
Yeah, you don't want that yeah. on there. So I think yeah. that's great.
Now, Tom, before we turn the recorder on, you were talking about some of the environmental things that Jayco is doing to make these units really environmentally friendly in terms of the production.
Yeah. Well, I'm very proud of this, and all of us at Jayco have worked very hard at getting this initiative going. And we want to be an eco-friendly company. We enjoy the environment. We enjoy camping. And we want to preserve it for the future. So,
and we love that attitude. We
yeah.
love hearing that.
It's really
so
important.
This calendar year in 2015, all of our facilities at Jayco will be 100% landfill free.
Which is awesome.
It's amazing. And I think I'm glad that you brought that to our attention. I had no idea about that.
Yeah.
And I think that is something that will be important to a lot of consumers.
And to the next generation of RV consumer that might care more about that.
It's a tricky balance, RVing, because you want to be outside, you want to experience nature, you want to see the beautiful great outdoors, but then you're also leaving an environmental footprint when you do pull an RV.
Right, yeah.
So that really
makes us feel a lot better about that.
Makes us
be proud Jayco owners, definitely.
Yeah.
How about just the overall warranty on any Jayco that you buy? What's the difference there between you guys and your competitors?
Yeah, well, we work really hard from a warranty standpoint as well. We have twice the warranty than most of our competitors do. We have a full 2-year warranty from bumper to hitch.
It's a big reason we bought a Jayco.
Yeah,
it
you
really
wanted
that
warranty. Because you use
year.
A warranty.
Yeah, I mean, well, I just to know
he's the kind
that,
of guy that uses
to know
his
that
warranty.
For 2 years, you know, the factory has got your back is a great feeling when making the purchase.
Certainly has peace of mind.
Absolutely. Anything else? Any other reasons to go with a Jayco over brand X or brand Y?
We're a privately held company. Don't do business with a lot of dealers. We only have a shade over 300 dealers across the country. We do business with high quality retailers and dealers, and we're still a family owned and operated company.
The largest family-owned RV company?
Absolutely. In the world. And, you know, it's a great place to work and to call home, and we have a wonderful dealer body as well.
Excellent. And we can vouch for Whitehorse on that front. I mean,
to drive a little ways to find them,
We were willing to drive an hour and 45 minutes to buy our Jayco at Whitehorse. We have dealers 10 minutes from our house that sell other brands. But we were willing to make that drive. So, Tom, thank you so much for giving us your time.
Yeah, thank you,
really
guys.
Appreciate it.
I really enjoyed
Thanks
being
a lot.
With you.
Enjoy the rest of the Atlantic City RV Show.
Thank you.
Thank you so much for joining us for episode 23 of RV Family Travel Atlas. And if you have a second during your busy work week, if you could drop us an iTunes review, we would really, really appreciate it. It helps us more than you know. And why is that, Stephanie?
It's all about the searchability, folks.
It's about searchability. It's about moving up to the top of the charts.
Well, where we belong.
Where we belong. So if you can, if you've been enjoying the show, please drop us a review. We really appreciate the reviews we've received so far. Now, we're both excited about next week's feature topic, aren't we?
Yeah, we are developing an ode to the pop-up. And we mentioned this on our last show. We were so happy to hear from a listener who wrote us a great
email
of the pop-up. And we really do think that the pop-up is a great option for some people. And we don't want to,
this reader really we're forming a segment around this letter and we'll share some of our favorite pop-up memories.
It's going to be fun.
It's going to be a blast. And we'll also do our second walkthrough of a Jayco motorhome. So we'll go from the pop-up to inside of a classy motorhome.
Right. We're going to do the flip side.
And also we're going to review one of our favorite state parks and what triggered this, the fact that you wanted to review this campground.
I walked down memory lane with a person at the RV show, someone who came to see one of our shows. I walked down memory lane with her about the water pressure.
At this state park.
This
so we're not
going to
reveal which state
park
it is, but we think it has the best water pressure in any state
and
park
we're not
in
the
America.
Only one because
it actually
other people
comes
do
up in reviews of this campground. So join us next week. We'll be back next Saturday morning with another episode of RV Family Travel Atlas.
Bye.
Bye-bye.